If you're looking to maximize your fundraising efforts, DonorBox's online donation platform is designed to help you reach your fundraising goals with ease. Discover the world of simplified, seamless fundraising at DonorBox.org. DonorBox, helping you help others.
Welcome back to the Nonprofit Hub podcast. My name is Megan Spear, and I am your host today. Very excited to be joined by Maggie Johnson Richardson, who is a friend of mine from here in Pittsburgh, to talk about the fact that collaboration is not a dirty word, right? It's real. We can do it. It's going to be okay. And so I'm excited to dig into this conversation and just really talk about how nonprofits can be working together to accomplish their missions and how we don't have to go it solo. Yes. So all that to say, Maggie, welcome to the show. We're glad to have you here.
Thanks, Megan. Thanks for having me. This is so exciting.
Yes. So before we dig into the topic, tell me a little bit, or tell the audience a little bit about your background in the nonprofit space. You are currently the chief creative strategist at Jazz Space Consulting. So tell me a little bit about the business also, and then your background in nonprofit.
Yeah. Well, I came to Pittsburgh, like a lot of people, for school, majored in arts management at the high school at CMU. And because I knew at that point, even though I had started in the arts, you know, as I know you can relate as a singer, someone who loves the arts, I realized, wow, there's this whole career and this whole practice around nonprofit arts management. And so did that for a lot of different organizations in Pittsburgh, and around the pandemic, decided to really lay into this idea of consulting, using all that experience to consult with organizations. And it's been really fun because I can work with a lot of different organizations at the same time. So yeah, that's where Jazz Space Consulting came up. And a lot of people, just so you know, Jazz Space, people ask me what Jazz Space means. And it's because my first artistic love is jazz music. I am a jazz singer, you know, and it's all about Jazz Space is all about the idea of thinking in a jazz way, which is all about creation, improvisation, communication. So I'll leave it at that for now.
Love that.
But yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So to give the audience some context, Maggie, you and I were having coffee a couple of weeks ago, and you were sharing a story that sparked kind of this whole conversation around collaboration about four groups that you are working with in conjunction with each other. So tell our audience a little bit about that project that you're working on and kind of what drew those organizations together.
Yeah, they call themselves The Collective. It's okay. A group of four, all women led small arts organizations. In other words, all with budgets under $1 million. And literally like the gamut of that, like one is really, really small, one is close to $1 million, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So these four organizations actually came to me, to my honor, because they had already started to meet around sort of a self-created cohort to support each other as women executives, as people who are basically primarily responsible for the fundraising in their organization. Mm-hmm. And just, you know, they all sit in their position more or less alone. I mean, some of them have more or fewer staff, but really they're all in this position of being people who, like, gosh, we need support because it's lonely out here. It's hard.
Yeah.
How do we get the training we need? How do we know even if we're doing this right? And so about a year into their process, they came to me because they specifically wanted to figure out how to fundraise better and how they can support each other in their fundraising efforts. And mind you, this was not a merger. There was no interest at all in merging their, although they all have done partnerships with each other from a programmatic standpoint.
Okay.
But in terms of, they just wanted to help each other and support each other. And so we've done several workshops with them, trainings around how to raise bigger and better major gifts, how to, you know, do your end of year fundraising campaigns in a great way. And would now be the time to talk about that story I told you that was
Absolutely.
Yeah. So
that's great.
they're all really great. Actually, they're already great fundraisers, obviously, because these are small shops and most of them have been around for decades. But what had happened was one of them happened to talk to a funder, a foundation, who they had never, you know, gotten funding from, but in the midst of that conversation was like, you know, you should really meet my friend in the collective over here as well, because I think you'll be interested in what they do. And that's like, seems like, I mean, for the longest time, like anathema, like you're actually telling the funder who you have right in front of you that they should go.
They should support something else.
Yeah.
But never going to happen.
Yeah. And don't you know, I think it's just the best story, because in the end, both of them ended up getting new funding that they hadn't.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when you really get down to it and what we know about funders and, you know, foundations, they want to fund good things. There isn't this sense of competition at that level.
Yeah.
It really is about you're helping the funder fund great things. You're helping yourself, your organization, you're helping another organization. And I'm just really proud of them for how they just work together. And they're really about, you know, the spirit of lifting all the ships together. And they aren't so limited by this sense of competition.
Yeah. So within that, right? So they come to you and you're working on the fundraising strategy with them.
Mm-hmm.
There has to be maybe a level of humility on their parts, or a willingness to step aside, or a willingness to maybe not be first. What do you think cultivates that for them?
Wow.
Is it just who they are as people, or is that a skill that that you've seen them work on?
Wow. Yeah, that's a great word. I do think that a lot of it is them as people.
Okay.
And I think in the nonprofit space, because we're all mission driven, right?
Sure.
The irony is that we could all be making more money, you know, working for the Googles and the IBMs of the world. So obviously we have a certain level of humility. But it's like when it comes to your organization, you can kind of sort of think of it as like, oh, this is my baby, you know, and I need my baby to have all the milk. And that's totally understandable.
Sure.
Like the idea of like, yeah, it does take a certain humility. It does take a certain mindset. And I think these ladies have this mindset that we don't have to come from a point of scarcity.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, that example I just gave, now they have proven it amongst themselves. They have seen it. They have seen how it's all of this collaboration together has helped them.
Yeah.
So I think that's part of it too. I think it's both and. It's both like you have to have a mindset to start it, and then you have to like delve right into it. And then you, when you see success, then you're like, oh, okay, let's do more.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I was in preparation for our conversation today. I was kind of thinking about collaboration. And in your instance, it's talking about how do we all lift each other up to become better fundraisers? A couple jobs ago on my end, mm-hmm. and it's something that I hadn't honestly thought about in probably 10 years, but a couple jobs ago, I was director of communication and marketing for the largest Christian school here in Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. And we ended up looking at it, you know, we were the largest, and there were things that we were still priced out of, right? When it came to buying radio time, or, you know, various different other like marketing initiatives that we wanted to go through that like we didn't have the budget to do it. So I knew that a lot of the smaller orgs or the smaller schools weren't going to have the budget to do it either. And so the gentleman that I was working for at the time came up with this idea of kind of a Christian school consortium that was going to almost do a push for Christian education as a whole, right? Instead of these individual little schools, because you're only going to go to the school that's near your house.
Right.
Right. It's from a competition standpoint, I'll put that in air quotes. You're not competing against somebody on the other side of the city, because they're not going to come over here. Right. But if we can raise the cause of Christian education in this instance and market around that altogether, that rising tide is going to raise all ships, right? And so I just wonder from your perspective, what stops us? It's such an easy idea. Like, of course, we can all partner together and it's all going to be great. And it sounds so happy sunshine rainbows. So what stops us?
That's a great question.
Do you know what I mean? Like I think everybody would buy into the idea of, sure, I want to partner with people.
Yeah. I think it's a great question. I mean, it's pretty simple. I mean, power and control.
Yeah.
You know, that's what keeps you from being in that mindset and fear. Like that scarcity, like I said, that scarcity mindset.
Sure.
Says that there is very little to go around. If I don't get mine, then I'm not going to get it. Then someone else is going to scoop right in and get it. And let's be honest, that has been a valid mindset, because that has been how it has been in decades past.
Sure.
It's not crazy. I mean, I'm sure there might be folks listening who are like, well, yeah, because that's how it is. And I think that for a large part that has been, especially for in the nonprofit world, especially for smaller nonprofits, especially for nonprofits serving marginalized communities, that has been what it has been. But we're coming at a time, I think, in place in our just kind of cultural history where there's an opportunity to be like, you have so many corporations now that are social impact minded. And we've seen people collaborate. We've seen the wealth get spread around a little bit more. And I think folks are kind of opening their minds to a different way of being.
Elevate your fundraising strategy effortlessly with DonorBox, the online fundraising platform that streamlines your operations, amplifies donations, and delivers a user-friendly experience for your supporters. Design captivating donation forms, accept digital wallet payments, seamlessly monitor donations, and automate receipt generation. Joining is a breeze with no setup or monthly fees. From customizable donation forms and 4 times faster, ultra-swift checkout to seamless in-person giving, with DonorBox Live Kiosk, DonorBox makes giving simple and fast for your donors. Visit DonorBox.org and unlock your full fundraising potential today.
So with the collective that you're working with now, if somebody is listening and saying, hey, that actually sounds great, if nothing else, I would just like somebody else to bounce ideas off of, right? That sounds really great, because we know, you know, Pittsburgh is not any different. There are a ton of nonprofits in every city who are doing a ton of great work, right? Big, small, et cetera.
No doubt.
All across the country. How could somebody go about, do you know, like, talk to me a little bit about the beginnings of that for them. How, if I am nonprofit worker, fundraiser, Jane Doe, how do I even begin the idea of collaboration?
Yeah. So it happens all the time. We kind of take it for granted because it's just so natural. The very first thing I would do is simply invite folks who are in your, you know, the people that you think you might eventually want to collaborate with, or that you just have a synergy with, to go to lunch, or to just have a gathering where you're just, or even a Zoom call.
Yeah.
Like, let's just get together and talk about our issues, or let's just, you know, what's happening in your shop. I mean, it happens all the time, even just, you know, networking events, that sort of thing. So it really can start very simple by just having conversations. And for these folks that are in the collective I'm talking about, that is how it started with them too. It was really just more gathering, you know, convention about, oh, you know, I have this donor and they're so crazy and la la la. And then it moved into, you know what, we could do this thing together and we could actually apply for a grant to do something, to do a project together. Let's try it. And so they did. And the funder was like, that sounds great. okay, who are you going to hire? Well, actually, we know Maggie over here. She seems to be of the cool mindset. And why don't we do that? And they were like, great. And so then you end up doing a project together. And then you end up, you know, presenting about that project. And then you end up getting more money to continue the project. I mean, we've actually gotten two different grants because of what we were able to do in the first part. We got a second part. So it can start very simple. And I do think that the caveat that has to be said is that obviously you're not going to collaborate well with everybody.
Sure.
That is okay.
Yeah.
Find the people and the organizations that fit your organizational and personal personality. It's really okay. There's enough of us out there. Not everybody has to work with everybody.
Sure.
You can get some big things done if you just start there and then just start ideating and don't be scared. You know, just, you know, we have like those conversations just tend to create ideas. And it's like, oh, well, why don't we write a grant for that? Okay. Oh, look, we're doing it now.
Yeah. And we're making this happen.
Yeah. I feel like I should be giving you some like magic wand, but it's really being human and it's coming together as humans and
And being willing to say, I don't know everything and I do need some help.
Yeah. Like you said, that humility piece and just being willing to talk to people and also just being, like I said, being willing to say, well, okay. It's like that humility and saying, you know, if it's not a match, it's okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So I want to kind of shift gears a tiny little bit. And so when we're talking about the collective that you're working with now, here's their success story. We talk about the organization that we had with the Christian schools as a consortium, and here's what's happening. If somebody is listening today, right, and they're thinking, you know, that sounds good, at least for us, your organizations were all arts organizations. Mm-hmm. Ours was all around Christian education. In your opinion, is it better to go with people who are in your space doing the same thing? Is it better to go with like, hey, we're serving the same part of town, but it might be in different ways? Or does that matter in terms of like in terms of kind of seeking out partners?
I have seen it most like I think you want to, again, start with what's the low-hanging fruit. So I think it most easily starts with people in your industry or your sphere. Now, that said, I have done collaborations with, you know, an arts organization that gets together with a social service agency, which gets together with a school to do, you know, a neighborhood project and, you know, those kind of programmatic kind of collaborations tend to work well as well. But in terms of long term, you obviously have to have some common ground. And I think the collaborations we're talking about here tend to be more about the function. Like, so you can do projects, you can do one-off projects that have, you know, a pretty short start, middle, and end. But when it comes to long term, you're trying to build the capacity of the group. I mean, yeah, I think it tends to be easier if they're in the same industry. But hey, you know, maybe there's someone out there who has done it. But I think when it comes to capacity building, yeah, because you're going to have the same issues and same needs.
Yeah, running into the same things over and over again together. Yeah, yeah, interesting. And I think too, you mentioned the fear before, right? In that scarcity mindset. I think something that we had to really figure out as we kind of got the consortium off the ground was that collaboration didn't mean I had to show my whole hand, mm-hmm. right? Collaboration doesn't mean that I'm going to just like open the floodgates and you can have all of the information of our donors, or you can have all of the information about how we do program or whatever, you know, whatever that jurisdiction is. There is a you are collaborating and commiserating a lot of times, but it doesn't have to be. I think that's where people get scared, right? Mm-hmm. Is like, I don't want to give them too much information. I don't want them to know, No, fill in the blank.
Yeah. Yeah.
Our major donor information. Fine. Absolutely keep your major donor information to yourself.
Although I will say,
like, it doesn't have to be all cards on the table, or does it?
Right. No, I think that. So you're talking about sort of, we talked about step one, just get together with people and start.
Sure. Talking.
Step two is, what is that one thing that you can, that you can see a way to collaborate that will build your capacity together? So it doesn't have to be everything. It could be collaborative marketing. You could decide that all of the Christian schools want to come together just to promote, and the savings that you find, being able to like save on printing costs, advertising costs, you know, what have you, consulting costs, can you know, there could be a lot of savings there, but everyone can get the same level of promotion out of it. So that's one thing. So you didn't have to show all your cards. You didn't even have to talk about what your budget was. You did have to agree, you know, how much is everyone going to put into the, you know, how much skin is everybody going to put into the game?
Sure.
But even that, you can have a conversation around, well, you know, let's say if your budget, if your operating budget is such and such level, then you're going to put in this much. And you could have those conversations without having all the cards on the table. So that's what I would say. You can usually start with something that's very concrete.
Okay.
So that you, and that builds trust. And where there is trust, there is less fear. So that's what, and then maybe that goes well. You can, I mean, we're talking about long game type of things. And that's why it's kind of funny that I've decided to specialize in collaboration management, because it really is most of the time more of a long game. It can be a short game. It can start as a short game, but it's always developing.
Yeah. It's definitely, it's a long-term investment.
Yeah. And again, at such point that you find that the collaborative isn't working, you can politely say goodbye. Because we're not talking about mergers and acquisitions. We're talking about unique organizations, you know, being able to share knowledge, share funds, share, you know, whatever in a concrete way, in concrete ways.
I love that. Man, that's, I think, one thing, if I look at the nonprofit space versus the for-profit space, right? For-profit companies that are constantly partnering with each other to do this project to X, Y, and Z. And it is something I think the nonprofit space has been slower to adopt. So I really appreciate this conversation of like, hey, it's okay.
Yeah.
Look for ways to work together, because the more good that we can do together, right? Again, we're going to bring all boats along with us on that rise. Yeah. I love that.
It's kind of ironic, isn't it?
Again,
it's so mission-minded, and we're really about building up our communities and bringing good things to the world.
Yes.
But that scarcity mindset will kill you every time. So you gotta start getting rid of that scarcity mindset and find people who think similar to you and are open.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That's awesome. So Maggie, tell our listeners, if somebody wanted to reach out to you to work on some collaboration strategy, or wanting to kind of explore that or work with you at Jazz Space, how do people find you?
Yeah, well, I'm easily found at maggie@jazzspaceconsulting.com. Our website is jazzspaceconsulting.com. You know, I'm on the interwebs.
Nice.
As the kids say. So yeah.
Awesome.
Call me. And I like to tell people I will work for food. So if we happen to be in the same town, you know, we could go out to lunch, and I'll give you all my opinions, you know.
There you go.
Price of a nice lunch. So
that's a great deal. There you go. Nonprofit hub audience.
Same, you know, yeah. If we're on the same, I'm sure we could have a great, you know, Zoom call, but
yeah. Absolutely. That's great. Well, I will attest, Maggie brings a ton of experience to the table. So excited to have your opinions on the podcast today. Thanks so much, Maggie, for joining us. As one kind of last parting thought, if you were going to encourage somebody to think collaboratively, right? If you were going to encourage them to like, hey, here's some reasons why this is important. What's your number one?
More can usually be done in a collaboration with like-minded people sharing their brilliance and their resources than one person or one organization trying to do it themselves.
Mm.
Almost all the time, if you can find the right partners, you can almost always make things bigger and better and more efficient or more powerful or more just bigger and better than if you try to do it by yourself. Mm. Almost every time. I've seen it a million times.
Yeah.
It can be done well. It's not easy. We, you know, we could do a part two about the pitfalls.
Yeah. The not so bright sunshiny rainbow portion.
If you survive yeah. it, you can, you do it. It's almost always worth it.
Awesome. Thank you, Maggie. I appreciate that. Again, my guest today has been Maggie Johnson Richardson from Jazz Space Consulting about the fact that collaboration is not a dirty word. Stay tuned. We have more guests coming up in the next couple of weeks. We're excited to continue to bring you great content. Thanks for joining me on the Nonprofit Hub podcast.